strong investment in the future of public radio.
This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE Richmond Public Radio, and Jeff Shapiro joins us for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne.
Lots to talk about this morning for sure. The long-awaited McDonnell corruption trial began this week. The opening statements produced maybe a couple of mild surprises, and then the prosecution opened its case with the key witness, Johnny Williams, on the stand.
Yes. In those opening arguments, the government contending that there was deliberate secret corruption on the part of or by Johnny Williams of Bob and Maureen McDonald versus the defense opening argument that the governor was merely doing what other governors have done, that is, assisting a Virginia business. And as far as Mrs. McDonald's counsel is concerned, it is arguing that she is a spouse trapped in a loveless marriage who has fallen for this millionaire playmate, so to speak. By the way, the star, pun intended, witness Johnny Williams, who is still on the stand, has said he was not romantically involved with Mrs. McDonald, and he does not believe that she was romantically involved with him. Now, back to Williams's testimony, which will continue today under cross-examination by the defense. He is testifying under immunity. That is, he is protected against prosecution for any wrongdoing. In this case, apparent violations or possible violations of stock trading and income tax laws. He has been telling his story, and that is he gave more than $150,000 in cash, gifts, all sorts of pricey goodies to the McDonald's. These were not, he said, acts of friendship. He does not consider the McDonald's to be his personal friends, that this was strictly a business relationship. According to Williams, the McDonald's needed the money because their finances were in shambles. That, of course, has been documented in the press. And Johnny Williams needed the backing of the state for his dietary product, Anadoblock, which is derived from tobacco. Now, Johnny Williams has made it very clear that he is not necessarily a paradigm of integrity. He testified that he has lied and misled and misinformed others to keep secret his arrangement with the McDonald's. However, he says he was, and these are his words, 100% sure that Bob McDonald delivered on, among other things, a rollout party at the executive mansion for Anadoblock in return for Mr. Williams' beneficence.
Eric Cantor surprised everyone by telling your newspaper late yesterday that he is going to resign his House seat earlier than expected and ask for a special election to be held on the same day as the general election so that his successor, presuming that the same candidates run in the special election, could take the seat a little earlier than January and give the district a little bit of seniority.
My sense is that a lot of Virginians, at least in this area of the state, probably elsewhere, will be surprised by this seeming effort at altruism by the forcibly retired Eric Cantor. Lawyers would tell you that there are wrinkles and complications and nuances in ethics laws that potentially make it very difficult for Eric Cantor to discuss post-congressional employment while he is still in office. So this would seem, perhaps, to accelerate those conversations. Of course, in his interview with Marcus Schmidt of the Times-Dispatch this morning, he said he hadn't made any plans for post-congressional life, but those were decisions, and I think his words were wisely, carefully selected, that he would make as a private citizen. Of course, Eric Cantor defeated in the primary, surprisingly defeated in the primary by Dave Brat, a Tea Party and Libertarian-backed challenger. He popped this surprise in an op-ed in the Times-Dispatch. The likelihood, I think, of Governor McAuliffe declaring this a special election is unlikely. However, Governor McAuliffe has lamented the departure of Cantor and other senior members of the Virginia congressional delegation, that this would reduce Virginia's seniority and therefore its clout in Congress.
A committee of the University of Virginia Board of Visitors, founded by Thomas Jefferson, is considering a proposal that would, in effect, be a gag order on members of the board, prohibiting them from commenting on actions of the board once the final action has been taken.
I'm not sure that the visitors of Mr. Jefferson's university necessarily understand how this is all being perceived. It clearly was designed to discourage public dissent. And, of course, that was very much on display during the attempted coup in June 2012 of Teresa Sullivan, the university's president. Now, the attempted removal of President Sullivan paralyzed the university for more than 2 weeks, and the effects of that that issue linger. One wonders what would Thomas Jefferson, a free speech advocate, do in this instance?
Well, we'll never know, I suppose, but it is an interesting turn of events at Mr. Jefferson's university. Okay, time is gone, Jeff. We thank you for your time and your insight into Virginia politics. Jeff Shapiro joins us each Friday morning at this time on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. From